Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Best Interest of the Family Radio. I'm the producer, Dave Taylor. And the best part about being the producer of a program is I get to talk first. The blessing in all that is that I want to talk a little bit about my co-host, Larry Herron. He's sitting right next to me for the broadcast, and I kind of warned him that I was going to be, doing some dialogue, but he didn't realize it was going to be about him. Well, the fact is that I now he's getting out his son's BB gun. But here's the thing, folks, is that often I talk about our program, and I say how valuable it is to have Larry, the parent coach, sitting next to my side. But here's the deal, is that many times I compare him to Dr. Phil. But here's the thing, is that I have to offer an apology for that, because I think that Larry far exceeds the advice of Dr. Phil. He's got much golden nuggets of wisdom, and the fact is that he's in my opinion, he's the therapist extraordinaire. In fact, I want to take this opportunity to tell everybody that we haven't discussed this for a while on this program, but Larry is my own personal therapist. He's actually gotten me where I can actually talk like this without standing on a chair and with a bullhorn and uttering out specifics about judges and in front of the court workers that may not be appreciated by those that are receiving it. But at the very least, between my therapy and the drugs that Larry, has prescribed. No, I'm just kidding about that part. But we have a lot of fun on this program. But I want to get back to basics, besides the fact that I want to introduce my special friend and my associate, Larry Herron, the parent coach. Welcome to the program, Larry.
Well, Dave, thank you, I think. You're right. I'm a little bit shocked. I wasn't anticipating all that, but I do appreciate the accolades. And Dave, you have, my friend, come a very, very long way from standing up on podiums and chairs and hanging from ceilings, yelling and screaming. And you, in fact, articulate and are very politically appropriate and effective at communicating the need to communicate, the cause and advocacy and what you have to say. And, truly, folks, Dave Taylor has come a long way. And, Dave, if I may say, there's evidence to that because, well, ladies and gentlemen, our very own Dave Taylor was interviewed on none other than CNN for CNN News Makeovers. Or Makers, was it? CNN News Makers is the thing.
They did do a makeover on it, though.
From what I saw on camera, there was a makeover involved. And, that kind of came out of nowhere. And CNN, actually, from my understanding, it's throughout southeastern Michigan and every cable station in South Michigan, actually, from Detroit all the way across to the western side of the state. This is going to air on various cable channels. And Dave, tell us more about it.
But it just so happens, Larry, that I actually have some footage here. You think we ought to fire it up for people?
I think we should.
Let me push some buttons here and we'll get her fired up.
Hello and thanks for joining us. I'm Laurel Hatch and this is Comcast Newsmakers. Our topic today is the Oakland County Friend of the Court. Here to discuss it with us is its Citizens Advisory Committee Chairman, Dave Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about the Citizens Advisory Committee, what exactly, for folks who may or may not have had an opportunity to have dealings with a Friend of the Court, what is Friend of the Court? What do they do? What are their duties?
Well, what a lot of people may not know is actually the Friend of the Court is an employee of the Circuit Court, primarily. And when there's a family matter that involves the court system, the Friend of the Court is an arm of the court And they look into matters of parenting time for the families, into child support enforcement, you know, into matters that involve, you know, schooling and anything else that may come up, you know, over the course of someone, you know, that's raising children.
Not all friend of the courts have citizen advisory committees. In fact, they used to all, by mandate, have them.
Absolutely.
But fewer and fewer have them today. Oakland County still does. What exactly is the citizens advisory committee, and what do they do to advise the friend of the court?
Well, what we do is we don't necessarily advise the friend of the court as much as we provide reporting back to Lansing and to other bodies, such as the Appropriations Committee that provides funding, you know, through our counties for the Friend of the Court, for example.
So you sort of observe the day-to-day happenings, what's happening in the Friend of the Court, and sort of report back what's being done right, perhaps some issues that you might see?
Well, a lot of what we do is provided by input from the citizens. For example, there are written grievances that are provided to our committee, and we go through these grievances and we look for specific things such as, has there been gender bias in this particular issue? Has there been an office procedure or a violation according to statute as it pertains to what the friend of the court is supposed to be doing by statute or by law?
So when you look at these issues, then do you make recommendations perhaps to, I don't know if you make them directly back to the front of the court or to the folks in Lansing as to how they should be resolved?
Well, that's a good question, because we would like to be able to make these recommendations more readily to the local friend of the court. But to be honest with you, the friend of the court hasn't shown a lot of interest as of late in the last year and a half. They haven't even attended a meeting. But certainly would invite that opportunity for the friend of the court to have better communications with the advisory committee, for sure.
What are, in general, in your experience, friend of the court doing right, and where could they improve?
Well, they're very, very effective at, for example, collection of child support, arrearages and child support in general, and enforcement specifically. But where I see a lot of problems arise with the community is that there are parents who would like a better, closer relationship with their children, and we see some resistance there. And I have to believe that it stems from the fact that they receive more funding from the aspect of collection and enforcement of child support than they do with the relationships between parents and children.
So you'd like to see more of a focus on resolving issues between parents and maintaining relationships with their kids.
Well, let's face it. When there's a breakup in the family, and there's been deemed a primary parent and a visitor in the life of the children, that certainly can cause a rift. In relationships, whether they're divorced or what have you, and to further that, the aspect of the parent-child relationship has been severely damaged, and we see the result of what happens in society when children are brought up in a single-parent household, when they don't have involvement from a mom or a dad, when someone's been, cast aside.
All right. Well, lots of good work I'm sure you've been doing over the years. Thanks for serving on the committee, and keep up the good work. And let's hope some other folks out there, hear this and say, hey, we need to get to a citizens advisory committee for our counties as well. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Today's Comcast Newsmaker was Dave Taylor, the chairman of the Oakland County Friend of the Court Citizens Advisory Committee.
Well, what do you think of that, Larry?
You did a great job, Dave. You hit all the points. And as the Citizens Advisory Chair, I understand why they wanted to interview you, but you articulated it well. I'm excited to see it on the news, and I'm excited that, in all sincerity, you did a great job. You hit all the important points.
Well, I'll tell you, when you walk into a studio like that and they're doing like a dozen to 20 of these interviews a day, I mean, this gal is an absolute pro. She was amazing, Lauren Hess. That did the interview, and I literally sat down with her for maybe 10, 11 minutes, and we went over a real quick script, and then, bang, we were in front of the cameras, it was nuts, but so it was like being shot out of a cannon, but it was a good experience, and thanks for your comments, I really appreciate that. It was really a lot of fun to do it, and in looking back at the interview, I see that, there were some good talking points made, and so I'm really proud of some of those. I'm really proud to actually serve on the Citizen Advisory Committee, and very honored to serve as the chairman. It's an awful lot of work, as you can imagine, but you know, it has its rewards too. I'll tell you what, Larry. I know we had a visitor over here today, and folks, trust me, we are going to get into our special guest tonight. Sorry, it's just that we didn't have a broadcast last week, so we're kind of making up for it. But Larry, we had a special visitor tonight. Why don't you tell our guests about who stopped by?
We had a special guest in the studio of
yep.
Kathleen Ryan, which is Oakland County Circuit Court judge candidate, Kathleen Ryan. And she's a hoot, Dave. She's a very, very dynamic lady, a lot of fun to talk with. And she just made a few comments that, again, just confirmed for me what a great judge she would make. One of which, just in casual conversation, she always says, you know what, stop defining the problem, start defining the solution. And that just resonated with me so much. And
you asked for permission to the right to
use that. Absolutely, I did. And she said, you know what, feel free to steal it, but we've got to give her a lot of credit for that, because I believe that's a statement that she really means. And I asked her to explain it so that I understood what it meant. And she said, well, you know, everybody understands what the problem is. Be a part of the solution. Define what you're going to do to change it. That's my way of thinking. And it was just a real pleasure to talk with her again. There's a lot of great candidates out there. But I think Kathleen is somebody who's very sincere and very knowledgeable, very skillful as well. But we really enjoyed talking with her, and all the best to Kathleen Ryan.
Well, I do want to put in a little bit of information out there to the listeners in Oakland County and around the state as it pertains to equal parenting and shared parenting and legal advice that you may be seeking. And there's an organization in the state of Michigan that Larry and I are deeply involved in called Dads and Moms of Michigan. And in fact, on Saturday, next Saturday, this August the 7th, there's going to be a free seminar. And at this free seminar, you can you'll be able to meet Larry Heron and myself, and you'll be able to meet other members of the board of directors, John Langloy and Randall Scotty, and then there's an attorney on our board, a very skillful attorney by the name of Michael Thomas. We have a new board of director that's a very close personal friend and associate of Larry's, Pam Lyle. And there's also another gentleman named Steve Waldrop, who's been involved in equal parenting, shared parenting advocacy for quite a few years. I hope I didn't leave anybody out, Larry.
I think that's it.
Folks, we want to be able to invite you to a free event, which is held at Bayside. I was Bayside Sports Grill in Walled Lake. The best place to get this information is to go to the Dads and Moms of Michigan website, which is, of course, www.dadsandmomsofmichigan.org. And I'm presently looking for the 800 number. Here it is. It's actually an 888, but it is toll-free. You can call our toll-free hotline, which is 888-851-3666. Or if you're in the Oakland County area, you could dial locally at 248-559-3237. Again, that is being held at the Bayside Sports Grill on Wild Lake from 10 o'clock in the morning until noon. It is free to the public, and we encourage you to come out and find out what Dads and Moms of Michigan is all about. But also come out and just meet some great people.
And we will have some questions answering sessions that will give you opportunity to ask our legal counsel, Mike Thomas, all your family law questions, and I can assure you Mike will have answers. He's very skillful, very knowledgeable. I'll be there to answer any kind of family coaching / coaching kinds of questions. I'm a licensed master clinician, and I welcome your questions as to what your children need and or conflict in relationships. happy to try to help. Of course, the other board members will be there as well. And we always have some rather special guests, Dave. There's always somebody interesting that shows up. Last meeting we had Pat Armstrong, a colleague of mine that I welcome. She's a PhD psychologist who specializes with kids, and she's very knowledgeable. It was great to have her there. We may have other legal counsel there, other people as well that it's great to network with, and there's always answers, always some great questions, great discussion, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody there at the Bayside Sports Grill in Walled Lake on Saturday, August 7th, from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And again, that phone number for further information, the 800 number, 888-851-3666, or you can also call locally at area code 248-559-3237. Hope to see you there.
All right. Well, I'm very excited that we're about our guest tonight. This is an individual who's been through an awful lot in his life. Isn't that right, Larry?
Absolutely.
Tony Rossini. I've gotten to know him recently as a personal friend. We met a couple weeks ago, and we met over breakfast, and we've talked over the phone numerous times about the broadcast. I think he's a well-grounded guy. You know, he's been through addiction and recovery. He's been through divorce. He's been through the issues of hating his spouse and reciprocated. and let's face it, many of us have been through these issues, but I don't think to the extent that Tony Rossini has. Now, Tony has written a book, and Tony's book is entitled "Dad, It's Time to Tell the Truth," and we're going to bring Tony on, and he's going to tell us why is his book called "Dad, It's Time to Tell the Truth." So, everybody, give a big best interest of the family welcome to our guest tonight, Tony Rossini. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Dave and Larry and everybody else that's there. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Hey, Tony, now tell our guest. Let's start all of this. Why is your book entitled "Dad, It's Time to Tell the Truth"?
Well, it comes from an actual experience that took place in April of 2009. I had my son, Nick, was incarcerated. I had already lost custody battles over him and trying to get him. He wanted to live with Dad, and it didn't go our way. And he ended up rebelling in the way a lot of young men do and got himself in trouble and ended up incarcerated. Well, in April of 2009, I was involved in 5 therapy sessions with him and his therapist, where she called me, the therapist did, and asked if I could be teleconferenced in to go through these 5 weeks of therapy with Nick and to work through a lot of this stuff. And I agreed. Well, on the 5th week, I did my last hour. I thanked the therapist and thanked my son, told him I'd see him in a month, and hung up. And about 5 minutes later, the phone rings again. It's Nick, my son again, this time with the therapist, and he tells me his mother's in the room. And we were going to do another hour, only Nick was going to be in charge. And the therapist supported him, and basically my son was in charge of all the questions, the types of answers we could give, meaning we could not debate one another. We had to just answer the questions he asked. And at the end of the hour, he said, "Dad, I'm putting you on hold." And he's very upset right now. And he comes back in about a minute, and he goes, "Dad, I am sick and tired of the BS that comes out of you and Mom's mouth every single time. For 17 years, it's been the same thing. Dad, it's time to tell the truth. I want to know who's lying to me." And that's about, I yell like that because that's how intense he was. So I made a promise to him. I was going for visitation Memorial weekend, so about a month and a half later, that I would bring him the truth. And I started to basically write a letter. And during the entire time of writing, his words rang through my head and my heart nonstop. "Dad, it's time to tell the truth. Dad, it's time to tell the truth." And the letter, although it wasn't done in May when I went to visit him, I brought him the truth. and it ended up being a chronological history, and that's where the title came from.
Well, Tony, I know that we started out with what your title of your book is, but I want to kind of fast forward a little bit, and we're going to come back to some things as it pertains
okay.
to your life and your book. And I want to talk a little bit, and I want to bring some information forth to our listeners as it pertains to a program that you've developed. Can you tell us a little bit about what brought you to the program, some of the aspects about the program, and how it can help people going forward with situations like you've faced?
Yeah, Dave, thank you, because that's a great question, and it's one that I get asked, and it's amazing. When I spent about 300 hours writing, and to relive one's life of three decades and to relive every mistake, every failure, every trauma, every catastrophic from court to everything in between, you know, I was once asked a question, and somebody, and I'm not sure who exactly it was, says, "What would you do different today?" And oh my gosh, with hindsight being 2020, I had to stop for a moment. And this was before the book was done. And what it really came down to was, you know, if I was able to sit down with, and yes, I've been divorced three times. The first two were mothers of my four kids. But what I realized that I lost and what I realized would have been incredibly helpful for me is if me and the mothers could have sat down and worked out a plan between the two of us based on four things. And it came down to what were the four things I lost over that 30-year period. And it really was some sort of faith, whether it some people call it God, some people call it a higher power, some people call it nature, but something greater than us, that was the first thing that I lost. And then it was my self-respect, and then it was the family unit, and then it was the children. And as I started working on answering that question, what I thought to myself was, my God, if there was somebody out there that could have helped me sit down with my ex-wives and just work out a mutually agreed upon plan that would keep those four principles of faith, self, family, and children in the focus, that so much of this trauma and so much of, hundreds of thousands of dollars of court costs and so on would have helped my children, as I told John Langlois this morning, to be able to be functional in a dysfunctional situation. And as a result, somebody I had met in California back in February when I was having this conversation with her said, you need to write the program. Follow your heart, stay on track of those four principles, and write your program. And I did.
Now, remind our listeners what these four principles are again.
Say that again? I didn't hear you.
Well, remind our listeners again what the four principles are of your program.
Well, the four core principles, or another way to put it, is the cornerstones of a family unit, regardless of what their situation is God or faith, meaning a power greater than us. I'm a recovering alcoholic. We call it a higher power in the 12 steps. So it's faith. And then it is self-respect. What I lost, and so many of us do, is we don't even know how to respect and love ourselves, and we think that the outside world will give us what we need. Well, if we can't give it to ourselves, we ain't going to get it from anybody else. So that's number two, is self-respect, self-love. Number three is family. And where that came from was my first two kids were actually stepkids in the second marriage, and how they got to the point where they wanted nothing to do with this anymore, and they walked away. So it was, so many of us now have, you know, whether it's adopted children, whether it's foster children, whether it's stepchildren, whether it's guardians, we have family that doesn't always mean biological. It means family. And then the fourth principle is our children. none of them deserve what our decisions, actions, inactions put them through. And how can we live in what is truly in the best interest of our children? So those are the four corners: faith, self, family, and child.
So, Tony, obviously, you know, there was a great motivation to write this book because of your love for your son. And obviously you went through, as you explained, an awful lot of personal pain in writing this. So there's a lot of yourself that's within this book, and I can see that. And thank you for your personal autographed copy, by the way.
You're very welcome.
And I'll tell you what, Tony, why don't you start going through some of the history of the book, you know, kind of from the beginning, and give some people an idea of some of the struggles that you had. I mean, some of your things with, you know, with addiction and you know, some of these struggles, you know, through your divorce and through your relationships with your children.
Okay, well, the way, you know, because my mind functions in a certain way, and because my kid was 17 when he was asking for the question for the truth, the only way I could logically think about this was to do it chronologically. And I started going backwards, and I really looked at my first 12 years of my life, and, you know, I was in a happy Italian family, blue collar. My dad worked at Ford Motor Company, and we were a happy Sunday was church and family dinners. And it came back to light again, and I had dealt with this years ago. But when my life, I was trying to figure out when things really started to change for me. And it was in 1968 when my dad's brother, my uncle, sexually molested me for the first time. Within 2 weeks after that first event took place, I got drunk at 12 years old. From the time I was 12 till I was 30 years old, I drank, I drugged, I was promiscuous beyond anything of normalcy. I was in and out of jail, nothing long term, it was overnighters, been arrested for possession of cocaine with the intent to deliver. I had legal and emotional trauma, and when you looked in the rearview mirror, living the way I wrote this again, by the grace of God, at 30 I did find recovery in the 12 steps, and I had worked through so much of this, but to be at 52 years old reliving it again was still very painful. So it really began at 12 when I was molested. And as you travel through this journey, you'll see pictures. It's kind of like an almanac, if you will, only it's not futuristic, except if you want to look back and say what I never want to do. The amazing things that I went through when I told my parents, Dave, this is what was very interesting, and how what we do with our children and how we treat them is so critical. At 16 years old, I told my dad and my mother in the kitchen in Howell, Larry, that I had been being abused for 4 years by my dad's brother. My parents did nothing. My parents ignored it and did nothing. And I found out later from my dad, and I actually found out from my mother, I'll tell you that part first, that when I was telling her I was writing the book and what I was going through, I found out my mother almost left my dad in 72, when they found out and he chose to do nothing. My mother almost left my dad, which in my family, that type of thing was unheard of. And so for me, what I learned in therapy much later was when we don't prove the value of our children at the traumatic times that do happen to our children, we are basically washing our hands of their well-being at that point, and we have no idea what will take place after that. And to relive that again was amazing, and that really was another motivator to keep writing and to keep creating the book. So you'll learn about what that was like when I went through that part of it with my parents and some things that happened after that. You'll find out that I got married in 1980 the first time, and I thought I was marrying a girl that I had a crush on in high school, and come to find out both of us were alcoholic drug addicts, and by the grace of God, we had two beautiful, healthy children. And how we ever survived each other is beyond me. But the good news is that when we see each other now, we're good friends. And I did write her a letter of amends after writing this book. I apologized to her for the first time in my life since I met her when I was 14 years old. And so the book changed a lot of things in my life. So you'll learn about that marriage. I met my second wife, and this really was the motivation where the book came from, Camille, the mother of my two youngest children. You're going to go through when we met, when I knew I shouldn't be with her, how I ended up getting her pregnant and trying to do the right thing with 3 years clean and sober and getting married and all the things that went on. You will read in this book, there are actual letters from my children, all of them, that were sent to me, some before the book was ever started to write, some that came afterwards, but I had no idea what it was like from my child's, from my children's perspectives when I was going through this. I had no idea. They reminded me of things that I never even remembered. So it's a travel, and each chapter is, the one I'm looking at right now is 1991 to 1993, and then there's 94, and it goes chronologically like that. You'll read about the vacations from, excuse my language, hell. You'll learn about when I lost my dad and how we all, how my dad and I fixed everything, all of our baggage. I know in my heart that my dad died 3 months later after we spent 6 hours together, that he had no regret on his soul, that him and I had forgiven each other and worked it all out. And I think in a way he knew he was going to die. And him and I cleared the slate. It was one last burden he didn't have to live with. And then so you go through my life, and it's all like this. It's just the truth. It's what happened. It's what took place. And then the most divine or the most unique experience was chapter 19 is titled God, Self, Family, and Child. And Dave and Larry and listeners, what is a true story and what blows me away to this day is one day when I turned on my computer and sat down to write, I saw chapter 19, I saw that it was done, and I do not remember writing one word of it. Not one. Every word is mine, every belief is mine, every truth is mine, but I do not remember writing one word. And that's when I knew that there was some sort of divine intervention, whether it was nature, whether it was God, that basically was setting forth a purpose for me to share this story. And the book wraps up with chapter 19 and letters to my family and friends. Many of them were amends letters. There is a little bit about an epilogue about what I would do different. And more importantly, for those of you listening who are either going through divorce, been through divorce, thinking about divorce, children of divorce, in Colorado, the entire documents from the court system for custody, marriage, court-appointed therapist evaluations, every document that was public knowledge is in there to support everything I said. And all I could share with anybody who was listening and anybody I ever talked to is you don't ever go through, you don't want to go through what I took my kids through. There has to be a better way. And that, Dave, is, I think, where the program came from.
Understood. Tony, this is Larry here. And let me just first say that we applaud your courageousness. I know that anytime we really sit down, open up our eyes, and stare face to face with our demons and say, you know what? You're not going to be a demon of mine anymore. This is going to be resolved. It takes courage. And Tony, what you're describing is a lot of courageousness on your part. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. It sounds like what truly inspired you to do that was the love of your son, was your child, saying to you, Dad, this is what I need from you. This is the man I need you to be, and this is what I need from you to free me from my own chains. And as a dad, we want to protect our children. We want to do what's right for them. Any man can be a father. It takes something more to be a dad. And it sounds like, you know, as they say, adversity introduces a man to himself. That's when you first kind of really took a hard look at, you know what, this is what my child is challenging me to do. I'm going to get it done.
I wasn't going to let him down the way I was let down and the way I had let all four of my kids down. My oldest is 28 now, so for 28 years, I was not going to do it again. It was over.
Yep.
So you're absolutely right. And what I was driving the other day and thought of this one, Larry, and you might appreciate this one. There's a reason why they call them skeletons in the closet, because they don't ever disintegrate. And the best thing I can tell anybody is don't start putting them in the closet. Get rid of them when they show up.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Tony, tell us, what is it about this book that's been most freeing for you?
I now know that my children, and it's a double-edged sword, Larry, because here's the thing. I now know that my children know the truth. They know all the things they wondered about, all the things they thought they heard, all the things that created everything from nightmares to joy. They now know. The sharp side of that sword, the painful side of it is now they know. And it's kind of an oxymoron in a lot of ways. And right now, my two youngest ones living in Colorado, living with their mom, they have nothing to do with me. My son was so grateful and so happy and so freeing when he was incarcerated. But within 1 week after getting out of jail and moving back in with his mom, he was done with me. And so right now, my two youngest, I send them a text message or a letter every week. And all I say is, I love you. I'm here when you need me. But I do know that there's no more secrets. They're gone. They're right there. And anytime the kids want to be reminded or question anything, they can pick up that book and they can find it. There's no more secrets. I was told a long time ago, Larry, and you probably will appreciate this as well, that we are only as sick as our secrets.
You know what? That's a powerful statement. I absolutely agree.
And I didn't even realize that after having 12 and a half years clean, I started drinking again in 1998, and I was a recovered alcoholic. And it wasn't until I wrote this book and one morning that I realized I'm not recovered. I have been medicating for 11 years again. And enough is enough. God, just for today, let me be clean and sober. August 12th will be 11 months. And I got sober within a week of when the book went to the publisher.
Good for you. Good for you.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
The problem with secrets, as you're very clearly and accurately articulating, Tony, it's that they're a time bomb waiting to explode.
Absolutely.
When we try to bury them, they may get buried on the surface, but they come out in all sorts of various different dysfunctional ways, whether it's a bottle or a drug, an angry outburst, an inability to function in this area or that area. They don't just go away. And we can play a role and we can put on a mask, we can do a lot of talking, we can do a lot of soft shoe shuffles, but somewhere along the line, they come out and they manifest themselves in very dysfunctional ways. And
yeah, I understand that double-edged sword. It's kind of like now that it's out, you got to deal with it, and it hurts, and it's difficult, but not as difficult as trying to sit on it, because they never really just go away. And the stress involved in trying to hide them and hoping and praying that somebody doesn't find out about me, somebody doesn't find out how vulnerable I really feel about this, or how dependent I really am on that, or how frightened I really am about this, or really, quite frankly, just scared to death that somebody's going to find out I'm not who I say I am. And you walk around second-guessing yourself, second-guessing everybody you come into contact with. That's a hell of a way to live. And once you can let go of that, be who you are and feel confident in that, it's a very freeing and healing process, as you're describing. And I want to again commend you, Tony. It takes an enormous amount of courage to do that. And it shows, it's a true statement of how much we love our kids when they inspire us to do something like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, the book was almost titled, and you might appreciate this, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And because my intentions, I have lost, I've given everything. You know, and even though I've learned now the value of life isn't a dollar, you know, but in 1998, Larry, my net worth was $8 million. I owned a company. I lived in a $1 million house. I had $200,000 in automobiles. I had everything. Material. I had everything.
Right.
And in reality, I had nothing. And except for my children. And I lost everything one way or the other. And the one thing that was always in the bullseye, everything that was the reason behind it, was my children. I tried to do the best I could for my kids. And what's the scariest part of what you said too is, what's even scarier about the skeletons or the secrets is when you don't know you got them.
Right.
Well, let me add to what Larry was saying about our guest tonight. I guess, like I was saying earlier, Tony, you know, you and I met over breakfast, and you know, we had spoken on the phone prior, and we were talking about having you on as a guest and giving me a copy of your book and things. And having you on tonight, in addition to reading some of your writings, I'm very impressed with, you know, you talk about, you know, the aspect of, you know, the king without any clothes. I mean, you're totally, excuse the expression, nude. You know, when you put these writings out there, this is you, every blemish, everything. And like you say, you know, there's nothing to hide. And, you know, I think that speaks volumes about your character, about even though you've gone through these addictions and these, you know, situations of sexual molestation, you know, getting dragged through a court system unjustly, or, you know, through front of the court issues, through missing your kids, you know, the whole gamut, that at the end, and actually we should consider it the beginning of your life, because you're, you know, this is a new awakening for you. This is a new path for you.
Yeah,
and I, you know, I just want to tell our listeners what an incredible individual that Tony Rossini is. You know, I want to give you credit, but at the same time, I want to tell our listeners, hey, you know what? If Tony can go through these hard times, so can you. You can strive, and you can make things better for yourself and your family. So pick up Tony's book. Now, again, Tony's book is, you know, Dad, It's Time to Tell the Truth. Now, Tony, where can our listeners get this book?
Well, actually, Dave, what you don't know and what the good news is in probably within a week, they're going to be able to order that on your website.
Oh.
So,
well, you know what? And that's a good thing. I don't want to know everything about what I do.
Well, we've already, John and I have talked about it, but I will do this. Let me just say two things. It will be on your website in just 2 weeks, and you know what? Because I believe in what you guys are doing, and you've welcomed me to be a part of it, that we're going to just wait a week for that link. Just keep checking dadsandmomsofmichigan.org, And within a week, you're going to see the link to purchase the book directly from them. And I made a promise to John that if anybody requests a signed copy, I will go to the to our office and I will sign everyone if they want them signed. In the meantime, if you want any more questions about it, my email address is Tony, T-O-N-Y, at the number four, not the word, familyandchild.com. You can feel free to email me and ask me any questions or to inform you when the books have arrived and they're ready to be shipped and ordered. So that's, and that website for familyandchild.com is also someplace that any of you listening can go to and see even more of this story. There's a lot more on there. And the one other thing, can I say one more thing before we end this?
Oh, we're not quite done yet, Tony. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm in Grosse Pointe and have a church here in the neighborhood, Grace United Church of Christ, and they have offered their facility to me to be used for 10 families to go through this program. So I'm looking for 10 families. There will be no cost to them other than time to go through, to meet me, to get a copy of the book as part of the curriculum, and to be able to go through this program at Grace United Church of Christ. And again, my email and my website, just let me know, but I would love, I'm looking for 10 families. And because Dave and Larry, one of the things I believe in is paying it forward, and that's why the first 10, their investment is time for their family. My investment is presenting the program to them.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tony. I do want to get into a couple of things about the book before the end of our program.
Okay.
And one of the things, because we talk an awful lot about child support and we talk an awful lot about parent-child relationship on this show, and, you know, and we talk about a lot about the friend of the court and experiences with the court system. You know, I'm looking at one of your final chapters here, and I'm looking at child support. Okay, and looking about some of the things that you say, and it says both parents hate each other more than they love their children.
Yeah,
the court system decides is what is in the best interest of the children. Now these are like thoughts that you wrote down one night, and it says you can become a deadbeat dad or a deadbeat mom with the help of the court system. Children without choice are caught in the middle of total dysfunctional BS. You put it a little more articulated.
There's three swear words.
Not sandy coated in the book.
There's only three of them.
Your thoughts that you had here. Every family member and friend suffer along with us, and how and what to do before it's too late. You know, some of those things I wanted to bring up that you've got, and these are great golden nuggets, but you go into some detail as to what you think about the court system, what you think about, you know, how all these things, these processes operate. So, express that to our listeners. What are some of your thoughts on what you experienced?
Well, my experience, and I've been through what you, and I don't even know if I told you, oh, I think I told you this over breakfast. I went through a divorce in Livingston County, and that was basically 17 years of a divorce and child support, and then I did it again in Douglas County in Colorado. And the first thing I would like to say to any family members that may be listening out there, and I may get in trouble for this, but you know what? I don't care. Any family that lets a man who wears a dress every day to work decide what's in the best interest of their child is making a very big mistake. The court systems can't figure out what's in the best interest of every child. Only we as the parents really can. It's kind of like we take our personal choices, decisions, love, and everything, and we hand it over to perfect strangers and let them decide for us what you have to live with. You know, an example I can give you about the friend of the court, since I listened to your program tonight and heard you being interviewed in Livingston County, I wrote an article or was interviewed by Inc. magazine, and I had projections of how big the company was going to be in 5 years. And my ex at the time decided that she needed more child support, so she filed for change in circumstance because I was now making $3 million a year or something based on an article that was all projection. Well, I had to turn my S-Corp tax returns over to the referee at the front of the court in Livingston County, and it showed me making $1 million, even though it was the company. The judge ruled in the favor of the referee. I was judgment to pay $65,000 a year in child support, and it cost me $35,000 to appeal that order. And then I had to require a different referee to know that knows how to read tax returns to determine that my child support did go up, I think, $100 a month.
So apparently you prevailed in the appeals court.
Well, my first divorce, yes, I won, but let me just say this. In 17 years of child support and court battles, I spent over $500,000 on legal fees. So tell me who really won.
I understand.
The lawyers.
Yeah. Well, many people that are listening fully understand the aspect of, you know, it takes very deep pockets, and unfortunately, people will leverage their savings accounts. They'll leverage their retirement funds. They'll leverage their money they're saving for their kids' educations just to stay in the lives of their kids and to create, you know, some kind of fairness within the decisions of the court.
And, you know, Dave, worse than that, sometimes they don't. And
sometimes
the sad,
they don't.
The sad truth of the matter is, as long as we're telling the truth here, the sad truth is that many parents aren't blessed to be able to come up with $10,000, $10,000, let alone $35,000 or $500,000, I mean $10,000, and they're out. And what they do is there's a winner, there's a loser, and to the winner goes primary parenting, to the loser goes an every other weekend visitor status. And when somebody feels that disenfranchised, often what they do is they go away. And then it's the kids who are the ultimate losers because they've lost a parent. And we see it's just clearly evident in every measurable social outcome that kids don't do well when dads don't stay involved in their lives. And every other weekend and Wednesday night for dinner is not enough. That's not parenting. You've been disenfranchised, demoted to a visitor status. And men understand that, and they go away. And they don't stay compliant with child support. Many of them, quite frankly, quite honestly, because not only are they disenfranchised, but they're broke. They're dead broke. And for some others, there's a lot of resentment. And they're figuring, you know what, if I can't be a part of my child's life, if all that money is going to that woman that did this to me, and it goes the other way too. The statistics show that women are even more likely to fall delinquent on child support. So, yeah, the system is broken. It does not work for any of this. And that's why we do what we do in advocating for change. Nobody should have to spend $500,000, $35,000. Nobody should have to spend the kind of money they spend to simply try to be an equally active part of their child's life. Shouldn't happen.
I totally agree. One of the things, Dave, in the book that you were looking at, that one chapter, people might find it interesting, is I looked up some legal definitions of change in circumstance, one of the most used words in the court system, and then I wrote my own. And you know what? All of you will probably agree. The minute every year a child grows, the minute you're pregnant, the minute they start school, they lose a tooth, every day of a child's life is a change in circumstance. It has nothing to do with the legal definition.
No doubt about it. Well, I'll tell you what, Tony, we're going to wind things down tonight. We're so pleased that you were able to come back on a Saturday to help us out with our broadcast. That we had a little technical difficulty on the Tuesday night, and we're even more pleased that you added such great value to our program tonight and to our broadcast. Looking forward very much to working directly with you on your program that's going to help families.
One family at a time, Dave. That's all we need to do. My goal is to help one family at a time.
Well, Tony,
I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Go ahead, Tony.
And I just want to say that I'm really looking forward to meeting you again and any of the listeners and you, Larry, on Saturday because I will be there.
Great. That was my next question, Tony. We hope to see. Hey, great minds think alike, especially when it's an Italian mind. And I was told by
Jewish hillbilly mind.
Jewish hillbilly mind. That's right. Well, you know, us Jewish hillbillies are pretty darn close to Italian, from what I understand.
You want to be. I know that, but that's another issue.
Well, I found out I'm Sicilian, actually, because I like gravy.
There you go. And actually, my other buddy, Tony, that I was telling you about, Tony, he told me that he made me an honorary Italian. He said I couldn't be Sicilian, but he made me an honorary Italian.
All right, I'll accept that part then. How's that?
He said that in another life I might be blessed to be Sicilian, but he wouldn't let me go quite that far. But we look forward to having you out there. And there you go, folks, one of those very special guests and surprise guests that we were telling you about earlier. You never know who's going to show up to a Dads and Moms of Michigan meeting, and we're very very proud to have you join us, Tony, on Saturday, August 7th at the Bayside. And Tony, will you have books to autograph and to sell that day?
I don't know. I've got to look. I think I gave John a copy. I've given you a copy. I'm not sure what I got left. If I've got any extras, I will definitely bring them.
All right, and let me correct you. You gave John a copy. You gave Dave a copy. No, you have not given me a copy, but I will gladly accept one.
Wait a minute. I thought I gave you a copy, Dave.
No, you're talking to Larry.
So I owe one more.
My other brother,
wait a minute.
Larry.
Hey, Dave, can you pay it forward, finish reading it, and give it to Larry?
That'd be great. You know, that's funny because people say we look alike. Now we even sound alike.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Well, you know, yeah, if he can open it with the coffee and the peanut butter and jelly in it, sure, he can have it.
I will get you a book, Larry, that I promise.
No, I'm kidding. Dave and I can share it, and you know, I can get rid of that peanut butter and jelly. It's
he'll probably lick the pages.
We look forward to seeing you though on Saturday, Tony.
Gentlemen,
yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah, very much so, and certainly enjoyed having you on our program and getting to know you, in person, on a personal basis, Tony. So, good luck with everything leading up to Saturday, and we'll see you next week, my friend.
You got it. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great evening.
Well, thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, listeners, this is Best Interest of the Family Radio, and we want to be sure to let everybody know again about the meeting that we're having as Dads and Moms of Michigan on Saturday, August the 7th from 10 o'clock until noon. And the phone number, yet again, for contacting Dads and Moms of Michigan, if I can find it in my notes, because Larry moved the pages, there we go, is 888-851-3666. And our website is dadsandmomsofmichigan.org. So please take advantage of this free seminar about divorce, family matters, about custody, about child support, about parenting time. We're going to cover the whole gamut, and there will be a family law attorney there. In fact, there also will be the rock and roll lawyer is supposed to show up. Larry was talking about some notables. In fact, I had the opportunity yet again to be on their show again, Larry, on Friday for about 10 minutes.
That was an AM station.
AM station, 1460, local radio station. So, man, I feel like I've been shot out of a cannon this week, Larry. You know, as CNN newsmakers and on, you know, doing a little spot on 1460. And I'll tell you, you know, I feel like I might be out there putting, you know, handprints in cement here pretty soon or something, you know?
Well, Dave, you know, it's not like your foot hasn't been in other places. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not put it in some cement with your initials on
there?
Well,
there's some people that would like to do that.
We need to get, we need to get Tony back, you know?
No, they just want my body to cement so they can put you into the Detroit River.
Just put your feet in. Hey, those nice pair of shoes,
yeah.
Dave. You know, they look good in cement. You know what I mean?
Well, they'll just dunk me there next to a hot or something.
Well, I want to put a shout out that I'm going to be doing a presentation on parental alienation on Monday, August the 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Birmingham Community House. That's the Dads and Moms Legal Group, not to be confused with Dads and Moms of Michigan. It's a completely different group. But Bill Reisdorf's legal group is I'm honored to do a presentation for them. And everybody's welcome to come and attend that, learn a little bit about what parental alienation is, what it looks like, and maybe equally important, what to do when it's occurring, making sure that you are not doing it, making sure that you don't participate in what, quite frankly, is very abusive to kids, ultimately, and what to do if, in fact, parental alienation is occurring, how to combat it and making sure that it's not allowed to manifest itself in your kids. And we'll talk about that. Be a about a 45-50 minute presentation on this Monday, August 2nd at 7 p.m. and that'll be located at the Birmingham Community House in Birmingham, Michigan. And that's on Bates Street. I don't have a phone number for that, but it is on Bates in Birmingham. So you can certainly MapQuest it or go online and get the phone number for the Birmingham Community House. So looking forward to doing that presentation. And my gosh, Dave, what else have we got going?
Well, I do want to mention our listeners that there will be no broadcast on Tuesday because it's Election Day. And I think I know that Larry and I are going to be out there helping a few candidates doing our thing out in the community to hopefully establish some really, really good people that would be coming out of the primary, going into the general election, and hopefully going forward to being elected, that can really make a big difference, you know, in our local state and and nation, you know. So, I want to remind all listeners to vote early and often. That was a joke, Larry. We're not in Detroit, remember? You can't vote more than once.
You know, I think I did, Dave. You told me you were running for dog catcher, and I put like 3 or 4 votes in there.
Well, I think that the pot roast that your mom made must have settled you for tonight's broadcast. I can't get a chuckle out of this guy for nothing. But well, there we go. But anyway, folks, we sincerely appreciate you supporting our program, and if you found any value in any of the guests, or if you have a suggestion as to any particular future guests, please get a hold of me at dave@bestinterestofthefamily.com. That's my email, and want to remind our listeners why we exist. Primarily, it's about parent-child relationships, and it's about the parents making the decisions. And let's face it, you know, children need guidance. Children need to know that they're loved. They need to know that those that are loving them are there for them. So they need that physical presence from a mom and a dad. And here at Biff Radio, we want to encourage you to be the parent. Don't ask permission. You already are. So with those basic knowledge and skills of being a parent, if you find yourself in a struggle to stay in the lives of your kids, don't give up. Okay? You are the biggest advocate that your child could possibly have. We want to encourage you to do what is within your power to continue to stay in the lives of your kids. Larry and I are very blessed. Larry's got a a wonderful six-year-old going seven seventies. You're being corrected. He just had a birthday. That's what I remember. He was swimming on my side of the pool, by the way, Larry. But I let him go because it was his birthday.
Because there was 10 other kids swimming.
and myself with my nearly 10-year-old daughter. And we feel very blessed to be able to carry on and provide a legacy for our children so that they know who their parents are, who their mom and their dad are, who their grandparents are, who their extended family is. And we know that there are many that listen to this program that don't have that. And we want to pass on blessings, and we want to encourage you at the same time to continue to strive to be who you know you can be in the life of your child. So, again, you know, blessings to our listeners, and we will see you on the following Tuesday. I don't have a date in front of us. It'll be the 11th, I believe that would be, of August. And so until then, best wishes from Biff Radio.